Good morning. Well, it's good to see everybody out this morning. I'd like to welcome all our members, our visitors, and our visitors on Facebook. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Welcome to the Lexington Christian Church in Lexington, Indiana, the other Lexington. Not much in the way of announcements this morning. Our monthly business meeting will be tomorrow evening, starting at 7 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. And it'll be a little cozy in there, so better bring your masks along. Yeah, even you, preacher? Yeah, right. Let's see, is there anything else going on that that we need to be aware of, Mitch?
Just Bible study tonight at 5.
Okay, Bible study tonight at 5. We'll be looking for you there. Let's, birthdays. Anybody here have a birthday this morning? Nobody. Okay, anniversaries? No anniversaries. Then let's worship the Lord this morning. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Number 35, let's stand and sing.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
Amen. Amen. Number 64, for the beauty of the earth.
For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies. Lord of all, to Thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the beauty of each hour, of the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light. Lord of all, to Thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the joy of ear and eye, for the heart and mind's delight, for the mystic harmony linking sense to sound and sight. Lord of all, to Thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild. Lord of all, to Thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For each perfect gift of Thine to our race so
Mitch, would you lead us in prayer, please?
I can do that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the privilege we have to gather here in your house this morning. Lord, we come here to humble ourselves before you and to ask mercy on our nation, on the church, on our families, and on ourselves. Lord, as a people, as a church, as a nation, as individuals, we have drifted far from where your word says we are supposed to be. So, Lord, we ask your forgiveness. We ask that you bless us and help us to move forward, because your word says that when we come before you, humble ourselves and repent, that you will hear from heaven and you will heal our land. So, Lord, we ask only that you do what you promised, but may we do what's required by repenting. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass upon us. Lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. As we prepare our hearts and minds this morning to join in the communion service, let's turn to number 247, The Old Rugged Cross.
To pardon and sanctify me.
exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old and exchange it someday for a crown.
Amen. Brother Wayne Morris will bring our meditation.
Good morning.
Morning.
Winston Churchill is reputed to have remarked that democracy is the worst form of government except for all the others. There's much uncertainty and debate about the role of a Christian in democracy. Some say this, some others say that, and it's not my purpose to state the doctrine of the church and state. Rather, I would have you remember why our founding fathers insisted upon popular votes. Is not because they believed the common man a source of virtue, possibly with the exception of Thomas Jefferson. It was because they believed that all men are sinners and none were so inherently righteous as to be completely trusted with the governance of their fellow men. It is a view of human nature and one not much in favor these days. We prefer to think of the citizenry as the source of our democracy's strength, the foundation of the republic's virtue. It's not so. Amen. Our ancestors carefully constructed a constitution which provided for a balance of power so that no one man or group of men would become so powerful as to ride roughshod over all the others. The view is that all of us are sinners, and our only political hope is to have each sinner keep tabs on the others. The point here is not the correct method of constructing a government, but rather the futility of a government. Any government in correcting sin. No government program can make a man righteous, and those who wrote the Constitution knew that. Our leaders have since forgotten it. But that does not change the truth. What then does make a man righteous? Our society has made two other attempts at it. One is to deny the existence of sin. It must be your heredity or your upbringing. And the other is to soothe it. And why do psychologists talk so much about guilt? There's only one real way to deal with sin, to make men righteous. That is to take up the righteousness Jesus Christ made available at the cross. Only his perfect righteousness will work in this world. Only his righteousness will be of any effect on the day of judgment. The Lord's Supper is a celebration of the sacrifice which made that righteousness available to us. Without his death on the cross, we would have no means of access to the righteousness of Christ, and thus no access to the Heavenly Father. Our founding fathers knew that liberty was bought with a price, eternal vigilance, and often the sacrifice of lives. Righteousness, our eternal freedom in Christ, is also bought with a price, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and all the many blessings of life you continue to bestow upon us. Be with us now as we come before this table with the emblems of the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. May we all partake of this in a manner well-pleasing to you. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
When Jesus and his disciples were gathered in the upper room for the Passover meal, Jesus took bread and blessed it, broke it, gave to each of them, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Eat ye of it." And after they had eaten, he took the cup, and giving thanks, offered it to them, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the remission of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me until I come again. Drink of it, all of you." Stand for the doxology.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Remain standing, if you will, please, for the next hymn. I love to tell the story, number 322.
And His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfied my longing as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. Will be my theme in glory. Tell the old story of Jesus Christ. it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, will be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and his love.
Amen. You may be seated. We'll turn to number 315, The Solid Rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All above is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Rest in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen. We sang a little long this morning, but that's all right. We had some longer songs. A preacher once told me that there are two things in this world he'd hate to be. That's the ninth pig in a litter, or the third verse in a hymn, because they both got left out. Brother Wayne, would you bring the mess? Almost dead already this morning. Right.
This morning's reading is from Matthew 16, 13 through 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "What about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be lost in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Good morning. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Amen. All right. Well, I guess everybody knows the trees are gone. The stumps are still there. And that was a misunderstanding on my part. So that was not a part of the agreement. I didn't understand it that way, but I assumed that it had been asked by someone else, but that's what happens when you make assumptions. So it's on me, and I have learned I can rent a stump grinder for $300 a day in Scottsburg, and I'll just take them out myself. Yeah, but don't work near as well. Well, I'll let you do that then. All right. Well, I tell you what, it is nice to look out through here and see. Can see the community, and they can see us. Imagine that. Well, I tell you what, especially for those of you who's on the Christmas committee, I've noticed, and I'm sure everybody has, that out there in the fellowship hall is starting to look like a manufacturing plant for Christmas things. Isn't it awesome? This is going to be the best Christmas I think this church has ever celebrated, as a church anyway. Maybe you have homes have better Christmases, but I think it'll be the best one we've done as a church together since I've been here. And I'm looking forward to it. All right, now as we continue moving forward here in the book of Matthew, here in this pericope, this is one of the greatest messages in the Bible. It's one that's preached probably more than a lot of others. When Peter makes the great confession that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. In fact, that's the declaration that we declare when we come into Christ. That's what we ask a person. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And do you promise to obey him to the best of your ability? It's one thing to think of Jesus Christ as your Savior, but it's another thing to think of him as your Lord. So we get them both in there. The Savior part is, do you believe that he's Jesus, the Son of the living God? And the Lord part is, and do you promise to obey? I didn't used to have that in there, but a wise man convinced me I needed to add it, didn't you, Bob? Not much difference sometimes. All right, so in this telling of the event that took place, it's not just a story. This is a historical event that actually took place. It says when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. That was a combination of names by Philip and Caesar. And that's how they named that, Caesarea or Caesarea Philippi. And he asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? Now, I could ask that question of anybody. We could walk out on the streets and ask anybody, who's Jesus? This has been done many times, by the way. And you'd be amazed at the names, the definitions that you get. Who is Jesus? Oh, he's a fictional character. It's in a book. Okay. Who do you say Jesus is? Oh, he was a really good teacher. Oh, okay. Who do you say Jesus is? Oh, he was the Son of God. Okay, good. Who do you say is? Oh, he was a really good man. Who do you say is? Oh, well, I think he was a prophet. Who do you say is, oh, he was a healer. He had healing ministries out of this world. You get all kinds of answers. And Jesus asked this of his own disciples. Who do the people say that I am? Now, the apostles have been traveling with him, and so they've heard many of the discussions that some of the people had about who Jesus was. They witnessed this. So he asked them. And that's when they began to say, well, some people say Jeremiah. Some people say one of the other prophets. Some say this. Some say that. So, you know, Jesus then gets right down to the nitty-gritty. Right down to where the rubber meets the road. But who do you say that I am? You know, it's one thing when we start discussing other people's sins. It's one thing when we start discussing other people's misunderstandings and other people's ways. But when it gets down to talking about mine, then it gets personal, right? And that's what Jesus just slaps them with this, you know. But who do you say that I am? And, you know, Peter is almost always the first one to speak up because that's just part of his nature. That was how he was made, how he was wired. And he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah, the Christ. Same word, different language. They both mean the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And so here, Jesus then starts off by saying, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Now, how many people in here have ever gone and witnessed to other people? Wow, that's sad. Two people. Man, we got to fix that. Everybody should have raised their hand there, but thank you for your honesty. We all need to be out sharing the gospel. This right here tells us that it is not up to you and me to save anyone. It's up to you and me to present the gospel to people, so that the Holy Spirit can work. That's what Jesus just said to Peter, is that flesh and blood didn't reveal to you that I am the Messiah, the Son of the living God. My Father, through the Holy Spirit, revealed that to you. And that's the only way anyone ever gets to know who Jesus Christ is. We make the introduction by sharing what Jesus did that proves that he is the Son of God. And then the Holy Spirit works. That's called planting a seed. And the Holy Spirit then will come along and water that seed and make it grow. And so we have a responsibility to share the gospel, to live the gospel, but also to tell people. Let's put it this way. Anybody in here ever raise kids? Okay, now we got some hands up. When your child did something wrong, did you ever tell them what they did wrong? Yes? Why? Somebody tell me. Why did you tell them what they did wrong? I can't hear you. So they would know not to do it again. Exactly. Now, if you and I, as Christians, have been taught what sin is because we believe what God's Word says, and we can go back to the Ten Commandments even and find out what God says is wrong, and we see somebody doing those things, and we know that if they continue doing those things, they'll go to hell. Just like we know if our child is playing in the street and we let them continue to play in the street, sooner or later, something bad's going to happen. The same thing is true when it comes to witnessing to people. Our love, our compassion that comes from Christ, from the Holy Spirit that lives in us, should come alive and say, wow, I don't want you to go to hell, so let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about the one who died for your sins and mine. Let me tell you how to avoid being punished for eternity by going to hell. And if a person never is told what is a sin, how will they know? Oh, everybody just knows. Well, they may know it's wrong, but do they really know it's a sin against a holy God? Unless someone explains it to them. And that there is an answer to that sin. There's an answer to that problem and a way to overcome those sins. His name is Jesus. Amen. That is what God said. Go and what? Go and make disciples. How do you make disciples? You tell them first about who Jesus is, right? And they accept that. Then you train them in the Word of God. And then they go and make disciples. And then they learn. And they go and make disciples. And they learn. Oh, man. Sounds like a pyramid scheme almost, don't it? But it works, folks. It works. And we have to work on our part. We have to work on our part. And he goes on in verse 18 and says, and I tell you that you are Peter, Petra, which means rock. And on this rock I will build my church. Now, does that mean he's going to build the church on Peter? Wouldn't that hurt? And this is where Catholicism gets it wrong and says, well, he was the first pope. That's what this means. Nope. Sorry. I don't see pope in here anywhere. In fact, I don't see pope in the Bible at all. The only papa is in here is God the Father. So when he says this, he's saying, on your commitment to me, on your confession of faith in me, that's how I will build the church. How does one come into being a part of the body of the church? By putting faith in Jesus Christ. That's what Peter did. So in a sense, Peter began the church right here. He was the first one to step up and say, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And everyone who follows that pattern, everyone who puts their faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, then is also added to the church. And the church is built upon that faith in the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But in verse 19, he goes a step farther. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, folks, that's been a hotly debated scripture right there. And many say, well, that means that I can say pluribus unum and you're forgiven, right? No, wrong. I cannot forgive your sin. No man can forgive your sin. Unless you committed a sin directly against that man. And then that person can forgive you, but you still have to ask God for forgiveness too. But what this scripture means is that when Peter tells others about who Jesus Christ is, when they believe in him, that is the keys to the kingdom of heaven, is the word of God, the testimony of who Jesus Christ is. They are the keys to the kingdom, folks. And that's why we have this responsibility to go out and to witness and to share. Because he says, when somebody receives it, then their sins are remitted. Their sins are forgiven. Not because of you and me, but because they believed in the testimony of who Jesus Christ is. But if they refuse, if they refuse to accept Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, then their sins stay with them. The ones who receive forgiveness are loosed. They're loosed from the bondage of sin. And the ones who refuse to accept, their sins stay and they remain in their bondage. They are bound in heaven and on earth. Folks, this is one of the most important things that any of us can do. And it starts, first of all, with me. Where am I in the statement that Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do I really believe? Do I just believe on him, or do I just want him as a Savior and not as my Lord? In other words, do I want him to be there to pick me up every time I fall, but when it comes to me doing what he says, it ain't going to happen? No, folks, that better not be the case, because if it is, on Judgment Day, we're going to be surprised, because there's another scripture that says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? It's very, very important that we have this right, that we understand what it means to be a Christian. It means that we belong to Christ. The I-A-N on the end of Christ, Christian, is possessive. It means he owns us. He purchased us with his own blood. And we have accepted that fact. And I got news for you, folks. When you belong to somebody, they have the right to tell you what to do. I remember mom and dad telling me as a child what I can and can't do. And when I tried to do it anyway, they convinced me I shouldn't. Quickly. Like as in immediately, if not sooner. And usually I never wanted to try that again. It was painful. God has grace. He extends grace to us. None of us will ever be perfect in this life. None of us will ever do exactly, perfectly what he asks or commands us to do. But he is happy when we say, what, Lord? You want me to do what? Lord, I don't know if I can do it. Okay, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'll do it. And he's happy when we make that commitment. Even if we say, Lord, I'll try my best. That's what he's looking for, folks. He's looking for a yes. He's looking for, I will do my best. Because he knows we're not perfect. He knows we can never do it exactly the way he wants it done. But that's where the scripture comes in. It says he works all things together for the good of them who love him, to them that are called according to his purpose. Even our feeble efforts at witnessing, trying to share with someone who Jesus Christ is, as feeble as it may be. Folks, you don't have to have a doctorate to share what Jesus did for you. You don't have to present it in such a way that it is eloquent. All you have to do is talk to somebody about who Jesus is to you, what Jesus has done for you, how much he loves you, how much he loves them, because he showed that love. He displayed it on the cross. Right? I mean, it don't get much more real than that, folks. And when people say, yeah, well, he was just a nice guy. Well, how do nice guys resurrect from the dead? Only God can do that, folks. Only God can do that. And that's exactly what he did. On the third day, it was prophesied, and on the third day, he rose from the grave, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. God loves us so much that he sent his only Son to die and pay the debt for our sins. He never sinned. Not once. Not once. He never even had a thought that was considered sinful. And because of that, he was the only one who qualified to die in our place. And therefore, he willingly, out of love for you and me and for all mankind, went to the cross and died a terrible death. He died in such a way that the worst criminals died. And even beyond that, because when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even the Father had to turn away. He couldn't look on him while he was taking on himself our sin. It was the first and only time he's ever been separated from his Father. So beyond the physical pain was that emotional pain. Folks, he loves us. Not just us. He loves every single person out here that's not in church right now. Every single person that is a bad person, living a life of drugs, alcohol, whatever. He loves them the same as he loves you and me. And I want to know, how many of us was perfect before Jesus saved us? Nobody? That's kind of what I figured. So we have no right to look out there and say, oh, they're disgusting. No, I was disgusting, folks. And if you had known me back then, you would say that. He's a disgusting individual. Because I was. And it just shows you the difference that Christ can make in a person's life. Drugs, alcohol, chasing women, mean, honoring, just all kinds of rebellious things. That was me. That was me. Anything you could think of that was rebellious, I did it. And Jesus said, I got use for you, son. Got to change. Wow. And he got my attention in a big way. And he wants to do that for everyone. Every single person. The word says that it is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All. Now, does that mean that every single person is going to? Nope. But it's still what he would want. It's still his desire. Because he takes no joy when someone dies in their sin and has to go to hell for all of eternity. God takes no joy. It breaks his heart when that happens, folks. It breaks his heart. And so he called us to go out and to share the gospel to help him not have to experience that heartbreak every time somebody goes to hell. You know, I don't know that I can say this is biblical, but I've had dreams and thoughts of being there on Judgment Day. And I can see on one side all these people who say, you know, I became a Christian because of you. And you're like, what? Me? Yeah. And then there's this other side over here, people saying, why didn't you ever tell me? Why didn't you ever tell me about Jesus? You could have saved me from having to go here where I'm going if you had just overcome your fear, not been ashamed of the gospel, and shared it with me. I don't know about you, but that breaks my heart, folks. It could be some of my own children. It could be some of my own family members. Could be people that are real close to me, next door neighbors. And if I never take the time to find out if they're Christian or not, And if they're not, to try to help them know who Christ is. That's on me. And if you likewise miss an opportunity, that's on you. And judgment day's coming for all of us. So, are you using the keys to the kingdom of heaven that God gave you? If you're not, let's rectify that. If you have a need, come or pray where you are as we sing, Brother Bob.
Our invitation this morning is number 556. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Stand and sing. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones will gather on their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. And when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, it's called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll
baptism next Sunday. Come on up here. Let's do this now. And now, I know I'd said your name wrong for a long time, so tell me again the right way to say your name.
Jerry or Jared?
Jared. I've been calling you Jerry all this time, and it's Jared. Okay. So Jared has put his faith in Christ in the past, but he'd never been baptized. And so now he wants to complete this action, become a member of our congregation. So I have one question to ask you. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and do you promise to obey him as much as you possibly can?
Yes, sir.
And all of God's people said,
amen.
So next Sunday morning, we will be having a baptism. Praise God. Welcome to the family. Amen.
Y'all might as well sit down. See, there was something that we were supposed to announce, wasn't there, this morning and forgot?
November 1st.
Okay, that was it, yeah. Tell us about it.
Okay. Get my mic back on.
November the 1st is a Sunday, and out at New Bethel, they're going to have a hymn sing at 6 o'clock that evening, and they asked if the men's group here would like to participate, so I told them we'd get back with him. Don't know. But also then, the following Sunday, November the 8th, Brent Calloway and myself will be doing a pulpit swap. That morning, you'll have Brent here, and they'll have me out there, so you guys get a break. November the 8th. Yeah, both of our services start at 10 o'clock, so we won't neither one get confused about that.
And neither one necessarily ends at 11.
No. No, you end when the Holy Spirit's done.
That's right. Okay, let's take a look at our prayer list this morning. One that we've all been thinking of, I'm sure, and I just failed to get on the list this morning, is our president and first lady, Melania. And we want to keep them in a little extra oomph in our prayers on that one.
Yeah, be bad if something happens to the president.
Yep, sure would. Is there anyone else that needs to be added to or removed from the prayer list this morning? See, I did get one other name too. Francis Klimek, John's dad, is having some problems. And you want to tell us anything about it, John? Or
he's just having some problems. He had fractures, helpless, in three different places.
Didn't know
it. That was on the left side.
Yeah.
Now he's having problems with his right side.
Yeah. He's either a walker or a cane right now, and that's not him. But he also won't stop.
Yeah. Okay. So that'll be Francis Klimek. Anyone else? No, short list this morning. That's good. Mary. You have the floor, lady.
Okay. You just kind of want to sweeten the guys up today.
Jared?
Yes, two people had prayer.
Okay.
Well, they're already on there. Joe McKay, my grandpa.
Who?
Joe McKay.
Oh, okay, right.
He's been tested positive for
COVID. Oh, boy. Okay, extra prayers for Joe McKay then.
Who's the other one? My grandpa and my dad's
Donnie Miller. Roger Nichols,
wow.
One of the better bass players around this area.
What'd you say was wrong?
Heart
trouble. Okay. Which reminds me of Dennis Moody's pet.
Right, yeah, we lost Dennis Moody.
Dennis
was Wilma's only male student, secretarial student in high school. And played lead guitar with the Bannister Twins, if anybody's old enough to remember them. Anybody besides Mitch?
The only person in here older than you, Bob.
Hmm?
I'm the only person in here older than you.
Ah, that's probably true. It may not be, you may not be that old. Hello?
We do need to keep Milton Ray Paul on there. He's still going through cancer
treatment. Oh, okay. Who? Who is this?
Phyllis
Cohen. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, okay. What's her last name?
Maine.
M-A-I-N-E?
Yeah. I
try
to read out each of the lists.
And we have done so. Okay. Milton Ray, we leave on. Phyllis Comer, put an obit in. C-A-R-R.
You speak
Connie Bell? Yep. Okay, anyone else? Kathy?
Well, when we're thinking about the president, we also ought to be thinking about a lot of our senators that turned out positive.
So right.
They can't do their job remotely. That's a big problem. And don't forget Mike Pence and Kerry.
They test positive too?
No.
Mm-mm, no.
Keep
them okay, right. Anyone else? Freddie.
Pete Whitehead.
Who?
Pete Whitehead.
First name?
Pete.
Pete. Pete, okay.
P-E-T-E, Pete Whitehead. Pete Whitehead.
Pete
Brother.
Hmm. Oh, it's not Pete from Leroy's then, huh? Say it's not Pete from Leroy's? One that goes in there all the time?
No.
Okay. I never did know his last name.
How's Bernice getting along? Does anybody know?
Yes, I know. Threw a report off of Doris, and I don't know how poor Doris is. She had been to see Bernice. She's home. And kind of sore and so on, but getting along really pretty well. Think she could probably use a phone call or a card or something. And they want her to do more surgeries or something. And she's going to say no until after Leroy gets the next thing done to his eye.
Wow.
So that'd be after the first of the year.
So she's going on. What happened with Bernice?
She's doing better. Well, it was a continuation of the old problem, so.
Anything else? Anybody else? Then let's stand, and Brother Mitch, would you dismiss us? Thought you might.
Do you feel like you've been to church this morning?
Mm-hmm.
Good. It means he's working on us. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the short time we've had to share together. Thank you for you sharing with us your love, your mercy, and your grace. And Lord, help us to share it with others, not just to greedily seek more of it and hold on to it, but to take it in and then give it back out so we can get more. Give it back out and get more and give it back out. Lord, you always want to replenish, but we have to be busy about our Father's work. Your word says to look up and see that the field is ready to harvest, but there are few laborers. Pray unto the Lord of the harvest for more laborers. So Lord, help us to be the laborers that fill that spot. Lord, use us for your glory as we go. In Christ's name, amen.
I'm a part of the family of God. I've been warned. is one. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this song. For I'm a part.